Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, be like me and take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational, presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting Kids Mills. This year's tournament takes place Tuesday, June 14th, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and an award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. Which NFL team do you hate the most? Lamont on Twitter saying, I hate Texans fans that has some irrational hatred of the Cowboys as if we have a rivalry. It's the Colts and Pats for me. I understand that. I understand Lamont's point of view. To me, it's kind of bigger than that because it's Houston versus Dallas. But in terms of, like, Texans having a rivalry, they play the Cowboys once every 4 years for real football. I know they do this little preseason thing and try to add significance to it, but we know what that is. That's an exhibition. Doesn't really have a whole lot of bearing. So if you play a team once every 4 years versus the Colts, you're playing twice a season. Patriots, you might be playing once a year. Shouldn't they be a bigger rival than the Dallas Cowboys?
I would tend to agree with you. I think that, look, I mean, if you say naturally who the Packers' biggest rivals are, it's the Vikings and the Bears.
Yeah.
And Brendan's not here to actually live and bask in the fact that the Lions haven't been relevant.
Who would the Lions' biggest rivalry be for the sake of Brendan in the voice of Brendan?
I think it
Brendan.
Would still be teams within the division.
But which one? Do you think it'd be the Bears or do you think it'd be the Packers?
I think Packers because of the fact that because they win the division almost every
year. I think so,
year,
too.
That's where they would set their target. That's just being from an honest perspective. That's not even from a Packers perspective. And I think that's the way the NFC North has always been. So, therefore, to Lamont's point, I think it would be fair for Texans fans to have the rivalry with the Colts because they've been taking it in the shorts for years to the Colts. And if not, they should be pissed at the team that left town that took on a new name but kept their colors and all their history in the Tennessee Titans.
713-780-ESPN. Yeah, I wish we had the colors back. They should play a game for the colors. Have all the stakes on the line. 713-780-ESPN. I hate the Packers, but I'm a Cowboys fan. But I would love to go to Lambeau Field.
See?
I think it's a good way to put that.
And that I'll completely go with. I completely understand that. But the other, yahoo.
The Philly fans being able to be violent and disrespectful and you dismissing it as just passionate is the essence of privilege. I was joking, 4673. You texting it is the essence of privilege.
Yeah.
I was obviously kidding. Tom Brady era Patriots is probably the most hated recent decade. Cowboys all time most hated. Today most hated is the Chiefs because of Jackson Mahomes, Pat's wife, and Juju due to TikTok. What a world we're living in where TikTok is influencing who we hate the most in the National Football
idiots.
League.
I can't stand
People
his
on
wife.
TikTok
I can't
Jackson
stand his little
wife.
Brother.
They were at the Mavs game last night.
Oh, that's right,
Pat
because
Mahomes
he was there.
And Mrs. Mahomes.
He was a grown man wearing a basketball jersey in the front row.
What's wrong with that? I like that. There's nothing wrong with a jersey.
At least there is. The same way that we've had this discussion about what's the cutoff point for grown men to wear jerseys, I've always been very passionate, including Andrew Carlson, our producer extraordinaire of the Wheelhouse, who insists on wearing super tight Rockets James Harden jerseys
well, that's
in
he's
the
ripped.
Studio. No, thank God at least he wears a shirt underneath. That's the worst look ever.
Tell us how you really feel.
I just did.
Hey, I don't.
And he knows it because he always kind of walks around a little bit more tiptoey, like knowing that he doesn't want me to come around the corner and see him sporting the ketchup and mustard Harden jersey.
Somebody texted us earlier about the wave. I can't find it now, but they were basically saying how they hate the wave. Verlander was cruising and then the wave started. Oh, here it is. Good. Verlander was great on Saturday, but the darn wave starts up and Verlander looked annoyed about it. Would you be annoyed if it was going on while pitching?
I shouldn't be. I should be focused on exactly what's going on the field.
I don't care about the wave. Like, so, there's so many people that are anti-wave. Why do you care?
There's a lot. Yeah.
Like, why do you care how people
woos
are fanning?
And waves lately have been what gets the ire up of lots of fans.
I mean, the woos can sound annoying. I get that. But, like, just don't stand up for the wave. Like, why does it bother you that the wave is going on around you? Like, worry about something else. If you're worried about people standing up and having a good time at a ball game, oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. People are having a good time at a ball game around me. I just will not stand for that. I can't stand when people are having a good time at a ball game.
Oh, he's getting close to going, folks.
My goodness. What's the problem with the wave? Why does that annoy you so much? People are having a good time. You just must not like life. Like, what's the issue? Intern Noah, you said you didn't like the wave? Who cares if people are enjoying the wave?
Yeah, but there's always going to be people that don't want to do it, so it's not going to look complete.
Oh, okay. Well, get your selfish interest ahead of everybody else's interest, because your opinion now matters way more than everybody else's.
This is coming from
Jeremy,
you.
I don't care
what people do.
Jeremy, I would say the one way of looking at that is if the people can crap on the wave if it impedes their visual enjoyment of the game. Like, if it gets in the way, like a play happens while everybody's standing up and waving.
Then stand up and look over them. Like, it's not that big a deal. Like, come on. They're doing their wave. They're having a good time at a ball game. Like, who cares if they're having enjoyment? Like, you're not? Okay. Maybe that says something about you. Eric in Jersey Village. I'm with Joel. Grown men wearing sports jerseys look stupid. Only kids and women should wear sports jerseys. I'm all for equal rights. So I think men and women should both wear sports jerseys.
My boys Barry and Nick started that whole movement. And then with Greg from the network side having the conversation, who's still a grown man wearing jerseys, the one extra rule that needs to be put into play is don't wear the jersey with the name and number of a guy younger than you. That's another passionate take by a lot of people.
Would you wear a Kenyon Green jersey?
No.
I would. I have no problem wearing somebody's jersey who's younger than me. Now, I don't own any jerseys, so I'm just advocating for those that do.
Because it would fit?
What? I didn't say authentic.
Oh, I didn't know which way you were. Okay.
I mean,
he's a good guy and he's a friend of the show, so we're going to support him.
If it was an authentic jersey, it'd be my blanket. 6087, grown men in tight jerseys is extremely odd, but I think it's fine if it's a little big and baggy. I'm not a fashion aficionado, so I'm not the guy to
this
ask.
This is all roped into adults bringing gloves to games, too.
Yeah.
That's another one of those. Traditional, I don't
want to tell fans
of a
how
lot
to
of
fan.
People.
Like, I don't need to be the fan police. Like, no one should be the fan police. People should fan the way they should fan, unless they're being like obnoxious and, you know, cussing around 4-year-olds, things like that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Ryan, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, fellas? You know what really, really annoyed me last year was the Braves chomp, like the chomp during the World Series. That really got on my nerves. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Appreciate the call,
you really
Ryan.
Didn't carry that tune very well.
I don't carry any tune well. That's something that I thought you would know about me as we've been doing the show since
I barely
August.
Know you, Jeremy.
I don't like the Braves chant because it's racist.
See, and I knew someone was going to say that. The Braves chant's been around forever and a day. I understand.
It was racist then. It's racist now.
Are Florida State fans racist?
Yes. You know who else might be racist? Josh Donaldson.
See, but on the Florida State take, the fact that, and obviously having worked with Travis Johnson, as we both have, who is a Florida State alum, who points out that whichever chief that is involved in the Florida State mascot, that his tribe has, they signed off on it remaining the mascot and, you know, riding out and putting the spear in the center of the field and doing all the things that they do, that it's supposed to make it okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it does or not. I'm just saying that's what Florida State alums will tell you.
I do not want to speak for other Native Americans, right? Like, I feel like that's a bad position whenever you're trying to speak for other people that could be offended by it. If some people are offended by it, then I usually take their word. Josh Donaldson, though, how
Let's
about the fact of when he was calling, he called. So they went toe-to-toe at third base not that long ago. I think it was a couple series
ago.
You
see the replay?
Of which one are you talking about specifically?
So Tim Anderson and Donaldson, who got into it this weekend. Tim Anderson was diving back. He was a runner on third base, back to the bag.
I think that happened like a couple series
ago. It was a couple series ago because it was a home-and-home over the course of a couple weeks. When he dove back, Donaldson at third caught the ball and took his knee and put like full pressure, landed on his forearm and took all of his body weight onto him when he was trying to make a tag, and Anderson took exception to it. I get that. Like, I heard Pedro Martinez on MLB Network talking about it, going, that could have been a career changer, because if he lands high enough on the arm, you could break the arm, you could do something to the ligaments.
Separate the shoulder,
you could do a whole lot of damage. So they already had a history. But then this weekend, when it got all exacerbated again, it got out of hand.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson called, that's what started the whole rivalry between the two. So Josh Donaldson called Tim Anderson Jackie. And, of course, this is because of Jackie Robinson. We know Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in baseball. Tim Anderson in 2019 with an interview in Sports Illustrated says that he's like the modern-day Jackie Robinson.
He wanted to be.
Yeah, but it was a little different in the sense of, like, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. And this was Tim Anderson, like, changing the game in terms of, like, swag and
having
flashy.
Fun again. And
Yeah, which, like, let the kids play. Something that you always referenced, too. So Josh Donaldson called Tim Anderson Jackie during their series, and then we saw Yasmani Grandal when Donaldson came to the plate, confronted him, they went toe-to-toe, benches cleared, a lot of pushing and shoving, and then Donaldson admitted afterwards that, yeah, he called Jackie, said that it's like an inside joke between the two. Tim Anderson and Tony La Russa said, nah, it's not an inside joke, that it was racist. My thing with this, like, Josh Donaldson and Tim Anderson are not cool. They're not boys.
That's the biggest thing.
You don't call somebody a nickname.
Did you hear Liam Hendricks' comments?
I did not.
So Liam Hendricks, the reliever who's very outspoken.
Yeah, Aussie, right?
Yeah, came out and basically said, hey, seriously, there's a lot that goes into this. But to your point, he's like, if you're boys with someone, if you're tight with someone, that's the kind of thing that you can have fun with. They're not boys.
No, they're not even close. They dislike each other.
And he goes, you already know I'm not boys with Josh Donaldson. I've got my own issues with him. But he also went on to say, like, in the last several teams Josh Donaldson has played for, he said he's talked to guys on those teams who said that they have real issues with Josh Donaldson. So all those things kind of accumulate to where when he makes a comment like that, the last thing anybody's thinking about is, oh, he's just playing around.
Yep. See, I don't really like either guy. I'll be completely honest with you. I don't love Donaldson for the past. Tim Anderson, the times in the past, I've disliked Tim Anderson as well.
Oh, in the Astros series in the playoffs last year, he got a little bit too much.
He does a lot of things that you would like for your team to do, but it's going to rub other teams
the wrong.
He's the
Pat Beverly in a lot of ways, but he has more ability.
He's a better player in Major League Baseball relative to Beverly in the NBA, but he has some of the same antics that can rub you the wrong way. Josh Donaldson knew what he was doing. Josh Donaldson knew what he was doing when he called Tim Anderson Jackie. He's trying to get under his skin. He's trying to say something that's going to bother Tim Anderson, and he did it in a way that I think he knew how effective it was going to be, and it was effective in terms of getting under his skin. Yeah, I'm on Tim Anderson's side of this. That you're not boys. You're not boys with Tim Anderson.
Now, he didn't take it too far, because turning a double play, he could have thrown one right into the sternum of Josh Donaldson, who was running from first to second base, and he even made mention of that too. Look, I had a chance. I didn't do that, but I don't take too kindly to the things he said to me. And then he had the ultimate revenge last night in the second game of a doubleheader in a two-run game late in the ball game, hits a three-run bomb and just slowly trots around the bases telling the fans to shush.
Yep, that was awesome.
And basically got the revenge he wanted.
A lot of times racism is the motive, right? Like the motive. Like some people could call Tim Anderson Jackie and be friends with him and it's no big deal. But you have somebody that's doing it that you despise, that it's a rival, that now it becomes a racist term.
And also, it's kind of like, when you have the reputation of being a D-bag your whole career, people want to see you punished and see things happen to you more quickly because of it. Trevor Bauer was always that guy. Trevor Bauer was always such a D-bag that everybody wanted to see someone get to him, like hit a home run off of him and showboat, the Twitter responses, all those other things. It's interesting because Donaldson always has gone at pitchers too. And the one he went at the most was Gerrit Cole, and then they end up being teammates.
Yep.
So there's a reason why he rubs so many people the wrong way, because he just airs all of his grievances in public.
Yeah, if somebody's going to continue to show you who they are, you believe them, right? And I think Josh Donaldson has done that over the course of his career. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. A lot of reaction to this. Chris, we see you on the line. We'll get back to you on the other side if you want to hold. Also, when we come back, Lance McCullough Jr. update. Reason for optimism, reason for pessimism. We'll tell you, you tell us. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. We'll get to this Lance McCullers update in a couple of minutes. 713-780-3776. Go out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Jeremy. Thanks for getting to me quick. Hey, you know, Jeremy, if it wasn't for the Wave, then Minute Maid Park would be quiet. Only and the only other time it would be loud would be when, you know, Jose Altuve comes up the bat.
Hi, Chris.
I'm serious. I mean, you know, Urquidy is about to strike out the side in the first inning, and the only one standing up, you know, trying to cheer. And I'm a native Houstonian, right? So I love the Astros. I've been going, and Houston's had this problem, you know, about just kind of being fair weather fans, I guess, or non, like, emotional fans, like, unlike the Boston Red Sox or the other teams that have been around a lot longer than us. You know, their fans were freaking crazy. But you take the Wave away from us, you know, it's the stadium's going to be quiet.
Yeah.
It's like taking Joel from the Killer Bees, Chris.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
That was Blank.
It's like taking
Joel.
No, it's like taking Joel from the Killer Bees, man. I mean, there's that mutual. It's that whole, the big package. It's everything.
Hey, and I was going to say, Houston, when Chaz McCormick comes up to bat, can we just cheer for him a little bit, man? That dude probably goes to therapy every week. I swear. I mean, nobody cheers for that guy when he comes up to bat, and he made some killer catches yesterday. What a great game the Astros played, and just love the show, guys. Y'all take care.
Appreciate that, Chris. Thank you for the kind words. How could I be calling the show as I'm doing the show?
Just thank you for thanking him for just thank you for everything you do. Thank
he said
you.
He loved us. He said he loved the guys.
The
I love
end,
you guys.
Yeah.
I guess the people that don't want the Wave want Minute Maid Park to be a library. Yeah, don't cheer. Don't stand up. Don't stand up. For goodness sakes, don't stand up.
So even
let's get rid of the seventh inning stretch. Let's get rid of that. Don't stand up at the old.
That's another
game.
Fine line that happens all the time in all kinds of sporting events. When you're a ticket holder, does it give you the right to stand whenever you want? Because people have issue with that too. Like, you know, they say that, you know, if you're constantly standing, I paid for the tickets behind you, so you should have to sit down. I don't agree with that.
Big
I feel
spots.
Like if you're a fan of the team and you're standing, like you said, just in big moments or key things, you shouldn't be reprimanded for that because you paid for your ticket, but you decided that you want to stand and other people are standing. It happened to me even at the U of H game.
There's courtesy,
that you
right?
gave me tickets to.
There's courtesy.
Like, people get mad if you stand when the Cougars are making a run and there's a fast break and you stand up and you get the, hey, sit down. It's like, hey, slow your roll.
It's a big moment.
Yeah, I get it if you're standing up during a free throw right. in the middle of the second quarter.
You got to read the room.
Right.
You got to read the room. And if it's the Wave, I mean, how often is the Wave going around the stadium? Once every 30 seconds. So, my goodness, you got to stand up to watch a pitch every 30 seconds. Or you could just sit down and miss maybe one pitch. It's pretty quick, this whole Wave thing. It's why it's called the Wave.
Now, if you're the people
it's waving through the
at the TD
stadium.
Garden that had to sit behind Taco Fall, that could be a problem.
Yeah, not everybody's Taco Fall, though. 9768 was that the game on Sunday, my seven-year-old says, the Wave is so much fun. I enjoyed it because he did. So you have intern Noah over here and all the Wave naysayers and people that hate the Wave that basically hate children. They hate seven-year-olds. They don't want seven-year-olds to have fun at the old ball game. They want old curmudgeon men at the ball game with, you know, library, you know, kind of setting where no one's talking, no one's cheering, no one's having fun.
Yeah, see, I was going to say you're making me look like an a-hole now.
Well, I'm telling you what 9768 said.
Evidently, he doesn't do that to just you, no.
Who else?
Well, evidently, Chris thinks you're doing the show by yourself. I think from a family perspective, I truly believe the Wave is an integral part of the enjoyment of the game because of the kids. The kids love...
Do it for the kids.
The kids love the Wave. The kids love the snacks. The kids love the Minute Maid Zone. And all the fun stuff. They love running the bases after the games. It's not the same kind of enjoyment that diehard Astros fan looks for, wants, and gets when they go to a game.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Jasper texted in. I was going to read his text now, but he just called in because he wants to get in on this. Jasper, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Love the show. Thanks for getting me on. I actually have two kids, and when we go to the game, I can't stand it when the wave happens because it's like a split decision for our family. Because my son, like, he's over there, like, keeping track of the pitch count and trying to see exactly what's going on. Meanwhile, my daughter is wanting to try to do the wave, and he gets so upset at her whenever she tells him to do the wave, and then he stands up to do the wave and then loses track of the stuff. Because whenever you're watching the wave go around, you can't watch the play. And if you're not watching the wave go around, then you stand up at the wrong time and look goofy whenever you do a late wave. So that's why I don't like it.
All right. Sounds like some indecisiveness in the Jasper household, which I can understand. But look, have some pay attention to what you want to pay attention to, right? You have that choice. You have that option. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, 6087. The wave is a tradition. At max, it'll block your view for a total of 60 seconds throughout the whole game. It'll be okay, LOL. Yeah, that's where I stand. It'll be okay. 0170, if you want to stand for the entire game, they sell tickets for that. They're called standing room only. I think intern Noah just texted that in while we were talking about that. Julio says, I went to the wrestling show last week at Fertitta Center, and the guy was pretty big and stood all night. I was, dude, really? All show? 4 hours? I think if you're going to a wrestling event, though, it's like all bets off. Like, you have to be willing that it's no holds barred, like, whole night.
There's the portion of the crowd that believes it's real. And there's also the fact that they want to make it a real situation while they're there, and they're going to act accordingly, and you got to be on your best behavior.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's no holds bar. You're going to a wrestling event.
I mean, when Patrick Creighton is in the mix,
it might have been
at a wrestling event with Cody Stutes, look the hell out, people.
Maybe it was both of them. He said it was a pretty large man. Noah, you had intern Noah, did you say that you had a question for us?
Yeah, just on the topic of, like, ballpark etiquette. If you catch a foul ball, should you feel pressured to give it to a kid?
I saw Game Day OJ, our colleague, talk about this on Twitter. She might have been talking about it on her show. I don't remember. I wanted to bring it up. Just didn't have a chance to get to it yet. There's one caveat where I would say no. For 95 to 100% of the time, the answer is yes, you should give a ball to a child. Like, you're trying to pay the game forward, right? Like, that's how you increase popularity in the game. You should do it right for the game. You should do it right for the sport. Like, give the kid the ball. Have a heart. Yes. The only exception to that, if it's a milestone ball. Mm-hmm. Like, good luck giving up the Barry Bonds, like, 750th homer. Good luck me giving away Jose Altuve's career home run number 300. So if the ball has a milestone accolade to it, I'm not giving it away. Every other time, where's the nearest kid? Because I'm giving that ball away, absolutely.
What if it's a grand slam or something significant? It's just not a milestone per se. Like,
is it a game
history.
Winner? Game winner, and if a playoff game, keeping it. If it's a game winner, if it's a grand slam in the fourth inning of a game against the Guardians on May 23rd, nearest kid, ball's yours.
Yeah, I don't find significance in saying you got a foul ball if it was off the bat of, you know, some rando that the kid is going to remember for a lifetime. I went to an Astros game and I got a baseball.
Yeah.
And I actually guilted one of my coworkers into doing.
Good for you.
There was a foul ball hit at our way and hit him in the middle of both hands. So it hit him in a bad spot.
How did it hit him in the middle of both hands?
Like, he used two hands to go get it and it hit right in the middle of both. And he did that, like, trying to catch a fly, and he lost it and it bounced in front of him and it sat there for about 3 or 4 seconds. And I picked it up and gave it to a kid in the row in front of us. He looked at me and goes, what are you doing? I go, you had three perfect opportunities to either catch or grab that baseball. And at a certain point, that kid needs it a whole lot more than you do. And you didn't deserve it based on what you just showed me. He goes, like, you're not going to tell everybody at work, are you? And I go, oh, yeah, I am. That was ridiculous because it wasn't like a laser hit off the bat. It was like just a pop-up, slowly hit, lazy fly ball.
Give the ball to a kid. What if you want to bring it home to your kid? Too bad. The kid should be there. If you're going to ditch your
That's
kid.
That's a good point, though.
No. If you're going to ditch your kid to go to a game, then you lose
rights.
Maybe
it's a work event. You had to go to work, guys, but you could come home and give the ball to your kid.
Nah, go to the game with your kid. If you don't bring your kid to the game, you lose ball rights. You lose rights on the baseball. 33 and never got a foul ball or home run. I think I might keep it. You're a jerk, 1549. A big jerk. 5357, I would rather endure the wave than having to listen to the guy that screams at the players from the second deck. Calm down, bro. They can't hear you. Yeah.
Can I ask something else about that, by the way?
Yes.
Even Kirk Herbstreit commented on it, but I'm kind of with him on this one. Can we control with everybody yelling whatever they feel like, and obviously the idiots yelling at the wrong Astros players for cheating is also on this list.
Oh.
Can we control, as we go back to any PGA event too, drunk guy yelling on the tee box? The most ridiculously stupid thing. What is the?
As long as you're not interfering with the shot, have fun with it.
In a major, on the last hole, and your big thing is, what do you want? What's the intended result? Do you want him to turn and wink at you and wave at you? Do you want him to respond?
You're like cheering for the guy.
You're throwing out some rando stupid comment to the guy that's trying to win a tournament as a life-changing moment.
You sound like Gran Torino here. Get off my lawn.
Well, you've done it today. I'll do it too.
If he after the ball is hit, who cares? Have fun. Enjoy your time.
Okie doke.
713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. 6927. Who cares about the wave? Can we get a Lance update now, please? We'll do it when we come back. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let's talk about new brakes. Look, I've been telling all you guys about new brakes for quite a while, and I'm telling you right now that everybody that actually took my advice and went and got you in contact with new brakes, they reaped the benefits. They told me how great it's been, and now I've got to pass that on to you as well because of the fact that if you go to New Brakes to get your brakes done, that's all you got to do is go to the internet, figure out the information, set up the appointment, and that's it because the rest is they come to you to do what they do. It's a new innovative way of doing the brakes, and all they do is brakes. Here are the bullet points you need to know. They don't do anything else. They don't try to upsell you on what else your car might need done in the near future because it's breaking down. Nope. They only do brakes, and they come to you to do what they do. They use the same parts as any brake shop. They have the same competitive prices as every brake shop in Houston. And the difference is saving time is saving money, so they come to you to get the job done, whether it's at your job or at your house. You're doing other things. You're multitasking, and you don't have to worry about getting your car fixed because they're doing that for you while you're knocking other things off your checklist for the day. It's fantastic. Go to nubrakes.com. That's newbrakes.com. Sign up right now for an appointment. When you do, mention ESPN 97.5. Save 10%, but save more than that. Save time, which is saving you money. Because while you're at the house cutting the lawn, drinking a beer, watching the game, or knocking off some of those honeydews, they are going to fix your brakes, and they do it in such a quick, efficient way. Less than 40 minutes here at the station. They were in and out, fixed my brakes. They're good as new. They work absolutely fantastic, and they did it exactly the way they said they were going to do. Be the next in line to capitalize on the great new way to get your brakes fixed. Go to newbrakes.com. That's nubrakes.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Having some fun with the wave conversation, hecklers at games, all of that. 713-780-ESPN. But there is a Lance McCullers update from over the weekend. Thank you to Mark Berman for posting this on his social media. Mark Berman, the hardest working man. I'm pretty sure there's two of them. Hardest working man in this city. Has a condo in each airport in the city. Hobby and Bush. Anyways, here was Lance McCullers over the weekend talking to the media, including Mark Berman, with the latest on Lance McCullers Jr.
Yeah, which is a great, you know, that's a great sign, you know, because of the nature of the injury, obviously, it was, you know, whether it was just the MRI didn't really show it, or, you know, whether it was, you know, the lockout period of time, not really being able to communicate with the team, whatever it was. I mean, the injuries was a lot worse and, you know, took a lot longer than a lot of people were anticipating, you know, when I heard it back in October. And I know it was like a little bit of a shock to everybody because there was no communication, there was no, you know, really, there was no ability to really have a timetable during the lockout. We show up to spring and like I was, you know, hurt and checked to the 60-day, things of that nature. But I've been feeling really good. You know, I've been lifting completely normal and been, you know, bouncing back. So I'll throw again tomorrow, not off the mound, but like to 90 feet or so again, which will, you know, be another kind of checking of the box, so to speak, being able to get off the hill and then throw the next day. So just continue to follow in the program, like I said. But yes, I've been feeling really good.
He looked really good in the HEB commercial. I thought that his mobility with the UCL was tremendous as he was doing the salsa with Jeremy Pena. That makes me optimistic about Lance McCullers. What'd you think of what Lance McCullers had to say? Optimism, pessimism there?
I'm status quo with what I feel. I feel like I'm not expecting him back. I feel like I'm glad he touched on it a little bit, but I'm not buying the whole excuses with the lockout for being the reason why we didn't have more updates. That's the Astros being the Astros along with Lance. I'm not buying why it's taken this long without surgery or any kind of medical process to fix it. And therefore, I have zero confidence that he will be back. And when he comes back, if he does come back at all, I will be as apprehensively questioning everything in terms of, is he going to hurt it again? Because nothing was done to rectify whatever had gone wrong and has lasted this long.
Well,
nothing has been done medically.
Yeah, but I mean, to fix a broken leg, you just let it heal. You let it rest.
You have to set it, Jeremy.
No, I mean, it depends on the break. Like, if it's a compound fracture now, you have to set it. But if it's a crack in the bone, you just wrap it up with a cast and then you rest.
If it's a hairline fracture.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. But this was, I mean, we don't know the extent of the injury.
Right? But yeah. There's no way, like I keep always going back to, I'm apprehensively okay with it taking him out of the rest of the playoffs because he couldn't pitch. But the last thing I wanted was for it to linger through the offseason into the next year and now possibly up until midseason before you even consider getting him back and not have anything done medically with a procedure, an operation, or otherwise to fix it, rectify it, and make sure it doesn't happen again. So I'm going to be extremely apprehensive in believing anything I hear from the Astros till he's throwing more than 10 pitches off the mound, 2 feet in front of the rubber, and then, you know, using a speed gun to clock how far he's throwing off a flat ground. None of that is anywhere meaningful to me until he puts the uniform on representing the Houston Astros in a game again, and he's not close to doing that.
I agree with 99% of what you said, but rest can be healing an injury. And that's,
but for,
I mean,
this long?
The length of this is bizarre.
He didn't throw 27 curveballs in a row this time.
That was a long time ago, though. That was
I understand
before
that,
the...
but he was just doing everything he normally does when pitching. He was pitching in the playoffs. He was pitching well, and then it was like, boop, that's it. Cut it off, and don't see him or think about him ever
you
again.
You want to cut off until... his arm?
No, I'm okay. But I'm saying it should. There's no way in my way of looking at sports and in the realm of thinking that this should have taken this long.
No, I mean, I don't disagree. Here's one more from Lance McCullers over the weekend, courtesy of Mark Berman.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely encouraged. You know, this is something that, you know, it's a little bit of a finicky injury just because of, you know, where it is. And, you know, obviously I had Tommy John surgery and, you know, it's hard to tell exactly, you know, what the health of the UCL is, things of that nature, or I should say the graph, is on the MRI. It looks good, but you don't really know if you start testing it. So knowing that my elbow feels good and we feel like we've been moving in the right direction, you know, for a couple months, you know, 2 months now since spring, and I've come a long way since I started throwing about six-ish weeks ago, been hitting my milestones, is it's all encouraging.
We need a true crime podcast on the UCL of Lance McCullers. Mm. We need this on Unsolved Mysteries. Like, don't know how strong it is. The MRI makes it look good. Like, it is really weird. Part of me makes me think that Lance McCullers is scared of tearing it again, which you can understand if you already had one Tommy John and he wants to live up to the life of this contract. Creighton on Twitch, the chat earlier, said big part of the Lance McCullers Jr. issue is he had a setback during the lockout and couldn't access team doctors, facilities, programs, et cetera, because of the lockout. How much did that set him back? I am sick and tired of the lockout excuse.
I'm going to call that straight and utter BS.
You're a millionaire. You've made millions of dollars. You make, I think it's $17 million average annual value. You can go find a doctor or a rehab specialist to make sure that you're doing everything on the straight and narrow. The lockout excuse, I am sick of hearing about with Lance McCullers.
I'll take it a step further. I hate to burst your bubble, Pat, but I'm going to tell you something flat out right now, having worked inside of an organization when a lockout was going on. There is a way to get the right people in the loop in what is going on and get you the treatment you need from people that either work for, with, or closely in association doing the same thing as the team doctors, physical therapists, and the people you were working with the Astros. And the team will do everything in their power to make it happen without, as long as there's no way of going back and seeing that there was any kind of interaction with the player directly. So trust me, that's a BS excuse.
Yeah, I mean, you could even text the team doctor. You could text the athletic trainer. I'm sure there wasn't rules against that. I'm sure you wouldn't be called a scab for crossing the picket line. Plus, you were locked out. You weren't on a strike. I'm sick of the lockout excuse. I would say that I'm slightly optimistic for hearing from Lance McCullers. Now, where I'm not as optimistic is whenever I hear the Astros GM James Click talking about Lance McCullers' injury.
Lance threw a few pitches about halfway up the mound. Felt great. We've been monitoring his intensity with a pocket radar, which allows us to very steadily increase the intensity, and he continues to feel really, really good. So very positive day today.
Is there any kind of a timeline right now, update beyond what's next, that kind of thing?
It's still very fluid. Obviously, what's next is getting up off the mound, off the rubber, continuing to add the velocity, get back up to the mid-90s to his full velocity, and then start mixing in the breaking balls and that kind of stuff. So we have a long way to go, certainly, but everything has been very, very positive so far.
So the steps are being taken, the boxes are being checked, but he's only throwing fastball off speed, and James Click, the Astros GM, just said we still have a long way to go. Mm-hmm. His words, Astros GM, yep. James Click's words, he still has a long way to go.
And he's got a pocket radar detector. That
every GM worth their weight and it's called the Sabermetrics has one of those.
That's why I don't get excited about anything I hear about Lance McCullers.
Long way to go.
Yeah, there's nothing. And I guess GM speak says you have to border on being, you know, completely.
He started that way.
Pessimistic and also very vague.
He started vague.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that last sentence was vague.
No, that's why I continue to tell you my stance is I don't expect him back. When he does come back, I'm not going to believe he's going to be back for the long haul. And I hate the way this entire process has played out.
I'm ruling out June. Some people talked about June, and
he threw 10 pitches and wasn't even on the rubber yet. And yeah. You're thinking about less than a month away.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
No way. Not happening.
I'm thinking All-Star about ruling break is, out. July.
All-Star break might be the next key date.
I think August 1.
And I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. 2370. Let's just face it. Lance is a 120 to 150 inning type pitcher this per year. Is he better as a back half pitcher every season or a closer? We don't think Lance McCullers long term makes any sense in the bullpen. He does not want that. He told us that by subtly liking tweets on our Twitter account. But I do think that there is something to the he also continued on, like, shut him down into the summer and ramp him up for the playoffs. You don't want to do that every single year.
Now, not at $17 million a year either.
No, and like the timing of this injury, and because you're good, you have the luxury of being able to do that in a like hopeful, optimistic way to where like maybe it can potentially work out for the 2022 season. But like, you got to get him back. Like, it's already May 23rd. Astros GM James Click saying it's nowhere near. He said it's not close. So we'll see. We'll see with Lance McCullers. You get him back healthy, that'd be great, but that's becoming concerning. 713-780-ESPN. You heard from Lance McCullers. You heard from James Click. Was it a positive? Was it a negative? Hearing from Lance McCullers, was it from James Click as well? Is that a good thing, bad thing? How did you hear it? You tell us. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. When we come back, let's get the thoughts of the crisscross guys, the Wheelhouse Men, what they think of that Lance McCullers stuff. We'll also ask them, would you give a ball to a kid if you caught a foul ball at a Major League Baseball game? Is the wave okay? All of that next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health yet again because of the fact that Apollo Men's Health gets results for both men and women that are looking to just get that energy back in their life, to change things that they've been doing that hasn't been working for them, or just to get on a workout program in general because they haven't been taking good care of yourself. Look, your health is your wealth. You have to invest in yourself the same way you have investments in the stock market or other real estate and otherwise. You invest in your own health. It's the most important thing you can do because it'll give you longevity, and along with it, it'll give you a little more spring in your step as you enjoy every day in life. You're not trying to win an Olympic medal. You're trying to win the day. And as part of doing that, if you go to Apollo Men's Health, they're going to show you ways that they can help. It starts with hormone therapy for both men and women, and they can show you the many different ways that they can get it administered and get you to get more energy in your life that way. I do a B12 shot every week. I feel like it helps me. Maybe it can help you too. Mention my name. You get the first one for free. Also along the way, if you want to get on a workout program, they have HGH peptide therapy so you can recover quicker after being sore after workouts, or maybe you got a nagging injury you want to take care of. Or if you just want to get on that workout program and start with a full body composition analysis so that every couple of weeks you can chart your results by seeing what you've been able to accomplish, that's also a helpful step. They take care of you because they care about their patients. Go ahead and make that first appointment today. Go to ApolloMH.com. When you do, you'll find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. More so than that, show up for that first meeting with them and that first appointment with an open mind and a thought process, you're going to answer their questions honestly. Tell them what you're trying to achieve. Tell them what you've been going through, the frustrations you've experienced. They're going to put you on a plan that works. They're going to get you results. I believe it because they've done it for me. They can do it for you, too. Check them out today. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's a Louis Garcia night tonight at Minute Maid Park as they get started with a three-game series against former Astro Miles Straw. Miles Straw revenge
love
game.
Love that guy.
Do I love Miles Straw? I think he's all right. I don't
know if you love Miles Straw. You love that guy.
I think they lost the Maton trade, unless this Yiner Diaz kid turns out to be pretty good. But Straw's been better as a Major League Baseball player as opposed to...
Thank you.
You made me lose my train of thought. Phil Maton. BK's with us. Brad Kellner.
You got close there, sir. You were pointing at Joel with the bat that you just dropped.
That wasn't a drop. That was a bat flip.
And you were within a couple of inches.
You know how many times he drops that stupid thing or his wedding ring while we're on the air?
I hear it.
Thank you.
I hear it.
It's the character of the Killer Bees. What's not to love?
Don't be swinging your wood in my face.
I told you.
This is a place of work.
My bad. You're the only one in the wheelhouse that gets offended by that. But foul ball. You catch a foul ball.
And yet you and Cody aren't friends, huh?
Cody and I are friends.
But you just swing your wood in his face and he doesn't get offended?
He doesn't seem to mind.
Okay.
He doesn't seem to mind as much as BK does. Anyways, you catch a ball at a game. I guess it doesn't have to be a foul ball, just a ball.
Cody reacting from behind the producer's room, not happy with you right now.
Whatever. When is he happy with me? It doesn't really change my attitude.
Well, he heard you talking about swinging your wood around, so he wanted to come see if it was actually happening.
He really wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Can't blame him.
That's why he's in there.
Cannot blame him. You catch a ball at a ball game. You're giving it to a kid.
Always.
That's not true.
It is true.
So you weren't in your post-pubescent life when you were baiting players into giving you balls in Arlington?
Still haven't hit puberty yet. So okay. Everything to this point has been pre. No, this was growing
up. Bald
is
beautiful if that's your case, yeah. Then so be it.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering, have you heard the story, Branham? How he baited visiting team members in his previous life experiences in Arlington to throwing baseballs into the stands to him, and he collected quite a bunch of them.
What's wrong with that?
He would have a collection of hats of the other team. He would wear his Rangers hat, but when the team was coming off the field, he would switch quickly to the team hat of the opponent and then get the ball.
Smart.
That's not surprising to me in the least.
I stopped doing that by the time I was 16, though.
Like 16. So you're driving to the game by yourself and still collecting the baseball?
No, because I had a permit before I turned 16, so I needed to drive with a parent at that age.
Uh-huh.
Those are state laws.
So in all actuality, you looked like you were still 10.
Yes.
But you were 16. That's why they were still flipping you the ball.
Indeed.
Got it.
That's it.
So how many balls did you get?
I'd say 15 to 20 in that range.
Did you keep them all like labeled with who gave it to you?
No, dogs usually chewed them
DNA.
Up. I brought them home. I thought they were cool, and then they turned into a fetch toy for the dog, and they got destroyed. Yeah.
The only time I can see we're not giving a baseball to a kid's acceptable if it's a milestone ball. You know, like a 70th home run, 60th home run, something like a career accolade. That's the only time I would keep the ball.
So what do you do if you catch a home run like that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say somebody hits 74 home runs somehow, some way, and breaks the single season all-time record.
Yep.
And there's a kid sitting right next to you just staring at you, giving you the pouty face.
And the section also puts pressure on you.
And the section starts
heckling
you to give the ball to the little kid sitting next to you. It's his first game.
Yeah.
Comes from a poor family. Might not ever be able to make it to a game ever again.
How's he there?
What are you doing?
I'm patting him on the back as I run to my car trying to get out of there with my lottery ticket in my hands.
Mm. Okay.
You pull the Jerry Maguire. You yell back, show me the money while you run for the hills.
Everybody has enough sense to know what a milestone ball is, though.
Remember the guys that fought over the bonds ball in the outfield I think the lawsuit might still even be ongoing in terms of who had the rights to it when it sold for however much it sold because there was a fight at the bottom of the scrum over who had their hands on the ball last or something?
Mm. That's wild that that's still going on.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Still caught up in legislation, I guess. Have you ever sprinted to catch a flight?
Have I ever heard y'all talking about this earlier?
I was booking it. Tyreek Hill had nothing on me.
Cheetah Branham.
Mm. Yeah, Cheetah Branham.
Have I ever sprinted?
Running down the terminal in Dulles.
You do weather on 11?
No. Oh. There's no time for that.
Okay.
I don't think I have ever sprinted.
It's not fun.
To catch a flight. I've hustled.
Have you ever sprinted?
No.
No, not really?
I've done that either.
not high on the priority list?
Man, I couldn't tell you the last time I've sprinted. Legitimately sprinted. Also couldn't tell you the last time I've run a mile. I'm amazed by people who run half marathons and full marathons, even 5Ks. I could not run a mile right now.
My wife has run 12 marathons, including Boston.
Incredible.
What's wrong with her?
Exactly what I keep saying. The patient, the focus you have. We go to play basketball at the gym for 2.5-3 hours. She could get on a treadmill for the entire time and still be on it when we come. I'm like, just the boredom factor of running that long on a treadmill, I could not do.
Does she have the 26.2 bumper stickers on
her
car?
No, we don't do all that. No. She doesn't want any stickers on her car, and I don't blame her.
Good. I'm with her on that.
What did you just say?
What did I just say?
22.6?
Did I say 22? Did I say 22.6? I thought I said 26.2. I could have easily said 22.6.
Oh, you're the guy that starts it and then has someone run it for you, and then you pop back in, put the number on, and finish?
I've run one 5K in my life, and I was the last person to finish.
I had a thought one time that I was going to train for a marathon, and I'm not lying. That thought lasted less than 2 minutes. I was like, you know what? Never mind.
So I've been on the course for Lisa running, to give her encouragement and or refreshments at a certain point or whatever like that. When you see the runners when they're done and see how their body feels and reacts.
And then the nipples too get really messed up.
Let's not bring those into play right
now.
It's a marathon. It's a family show. Leave my wife's nipples out of it.
I wasn't talking about your wife's.
But the fact that when you think about the craziest thing to me was a couple years ago, right after she had Madison. She had promised, or they were doing some promotion or something, that she had promised she'd run the half. She literally did not train for it and finished in the top, 200. I'm like, that's insane to me. That's 13.1, and you didn't train for it.
After having a kid.
Yeah, after having a kid. I was like, no, that's just, I can't do that.
No.
Well, the crazy ones, too, are those ultras, where they run, 100 miles.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it is. I just saw they featured some kid that's done multiples. You run 100 and some miles. No, thank you.
Yeah, kid's got to get a life. Kid's a loser, honestly. Think about the training that goes into that.
If you saw the story, you might change that opinion, but other than that.
All of the time the kid.
Just for the running, yeah.
All of the time the kid spends training for that and then running that. Guy's got to get a life.
And then they go, you have to go up through the hill. You don't need any extra challenges. Just running 100 and some miles straight is all you need. Forget the mountains and the terrain.
Yeah, I'm not on that.
That's insane.
I had an Allstat light as I was watching the PGA Championship yesterday.
Mazel tov.
Good.
Appreciate that.
Very good.
A German beer so good, a Jew advertises for it.
Very good. Yeah. I'm half German.
Some of the
not half German, quarter German. Yeah. They must be a really good beer.
Go ahead and scoot a little.
Thank God there's no more home
Joel
openers.
Must be a really good beer. This whole Deshaun Watson suspension, is it possible that it could be longer than we think?
What do you think?
I think so.
Well, you heard the Josina Anderson tweet.
Mm-hmm.
That the NFL will be closely monitoring the Trevor Bauer suspension and situation to say that one thing they don't want to do is be the league that treated a situation like that lightly as opposed to the way that baseball treated it.
So what do you guys think, though? I mean,
six games.
I think it could be longer.
I've said six all along because that's what Zeke got without getting any kind of criminal involvement or being, found guilty. But I think that's where it starts. I don't know that that's where it finishes.
Yeah, so I did some search on this last week, and the longest domestic-related suspension ever handed out by the NFL was 10 games. That was to Greg Hardy.
Mm.
Upon appeal, it got reduced to 4 games.
Wow.
So the longest-served suspension is Zeke Elliott in his 6 games. My guess is the NFL wants to at least say that they gave out their longest suspension ever for a domestic violence issue. So my guess is it's going to be more than six. I don't think it's going to be 2 years. I don't think it's going to be 1 year or anything like that. But I think it's going to be more than six so the league can point to everything else and say, hey, you don't think we're taking this seriously? We've never given out.
But don't you think the Ray Rice situation, the way they mishandled it, might cause them to actually go a little bit overboard on the suspension?
I could see that happening, too. I could see them also giving out a pretty strict punishment and then after an appeal maybe reducing it a little bit so they win the quote-unquote court of public opinion battle. But I think it's going to be at least six games just so they can point to the longest suspension they've ever given.
I'm curious, too, the public opinion stuff with this HBO
yeah.
tomorrow. I think it's going to be a big deal. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to intern Noah for filling in, doing all the hard work. Brendan will be back tomorrow doing some harder work and a little bit more effectively, I think, too.
Yeah.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.